Hear the word of the Lord from Mark 4 and 5, and I will say as we begin that this is a pretty good chunk of text. This is what Mark does quite a bit when he will tell a double story. He'll tell two stories, they go together. So I know we're not used to hearing someone read a long passage. The good news is that these are stories, so they're a little bit easier to listen to than like listening to someone read from Leviticus. So that's the good news. But you may have to kind of lean in to pay attention. But hear these stories. This is the word of the Lord. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The winds, the waves, and 2,000 pigs. If Mark 4 is filled with the long story, and you remember this, planting seeds that take time to grow and flourish and blossom, kind of like the long view of life that we sometimes have to take, whether we like it or not. Well, then the end of Mark 4 and into Mark 5 goes the other direction. Not the long view of life, but the immediate. What stares you in the face right now, like wind and waves and 2,000 pigs. And right there among the wind and the waves and the pigs comes the change in the Gospel of Mark. And it's the big shift. Did you notice it? It goes, in the blink of an eye, it goes from don't tell anyone to go tell everyone. Don't tell anyone, go tell everyone. Did you hear that? Jesus tells the dangerous man who was lashing out at people, cutting himself with stones, Jesus tells that guy, I want you to go start telling people about God's mercy. And all the while, we're standing there, watching. And we are amazed and we're dumbfounded. We stand there overhearing things that are hard to believe. And basically, what that all adds up to is we are suspicious. What if this guy who's talking about God's mercy with some scars that are still bleeding, what if this guy turns on us? What if he reverts back? I mean, think about it. And this is the guy that Jesus chooses to be the preacher to the eastern side of the lake? But you and I, today, we are surrounded by hard-to-believe things every day. That's no great revelation, right? Happenings, thoughts. And you know what else we face every day? Unresolved things. Right when you get one straightened out, another thing goes wonky. Right when you solve one problem, here comes another one. Calm one set of wind and waves, and maybe you get a little bit of calm, but then tomorrow morning you wake up, and guess what? More wind and more waves. And then, wouldn't you know it, as if it wasn't enough to have to deal with the wind and the waves, here comes 2,000 pigs. But there's some good news in the meantime, and it's not to make the wind and the waves go away, but good news during the wind and the waves and the pigs. Because we get to overhear Jesus saying something to this day that many of us long to hear, especially on the days when the unresolved things are particularly windy and wavy and piggy. Jesus says, quiet. Be still. Did you know, by the way, that this little idiom, when Jesus says, be still, might literally best be translated, be muzzled? And that's good news. That's good news on our ears, because we live in a world that is neither quiet nor still. It's hard for us to be quiet. It's hard for us to be still. It's hard for us to be muzzled. But sometimes it's hard to speak. And sometimes, some days, it's hard to get moving. So maybe Jesus is talking to you today, not to the worried disciples in the boat, but to you, asking you the question, why are you so afraid? What would you say to Jesus if in the midst of all the wind and the waves and the pigs, Jesus stood there holding your hand after you saw all of that, the wind and the waves and the pigs, and Jesus says, why are you so afraid? I'll tell you what I would tell him. I would say, well, Jesus, I'll tell you why I'm so afraid. Because when you speak, the wind and the waves obey you, so why can't I? If you can make wind and waves and pigs obey you, why do I have so much trouble? I'm afraid because even when you tell me not to be afraid, I'm still afraid. And sometimes when you say, don't be afraid, that kind of scares me. Anybody ever tell you, you got nothing to be nervous about when you're nervous? Anybody ever tell you, oh, don't be scared, it's not going to hurt. You know, it's the dentist. You know, don't worry. I'm afraid. I'm scared. So afraid because I am. I'm afraid. The words here in Mark that describe the disciples are actually an old Semitic phrase. You're going to love it. They feared a great fear. You ever do that? You ever feel that? You ever fear a great fear? You see, Mark today in our hearing is putting us in another situation. He's putting before us yet another calling to not be afraid when the wind and the waves are more obedient than you are. And as to those pigs and their strange obedience, welcome to the Gospel of Mark, where strange things speak to the glory of God. And that's good news worth telling in a strange world that so often leaves us with more questions than answers. One time I was in a yoga class with a teacher who kept telling us to calm our monkey minds. And my son, Cole, was with me. He probably just graduated high school. Somewhere, he was older. And we're on the floor next to each other, and we had this substitute yoga teacher that we'd never had before, and she keeps saying, calm your monkey minds. And Cole and I mean, we were acting up a little bit. She would say, calm your monkey minds, and we'd look at each other and, you know, make faces at each other. Calm your monkey minds. And that kind of became a thing with us for a while. You know, he'd be upset about something. I'd say, you know, Cole, what you need to do is just calm your monkey mind. You know, or I would be upset about something and it was the same thing. Dad, calm your monkey mind. And so it kind of became a thing. And I was thinking about that a lot with these pigs in this story. Just going berserk down the hill. And you ever have monkey mind today? You ever have swine mind? Where your mind is just filled with stuff and you want to calm it down? Soul is crashing waves. My heart is windy. Mind is full of pigs. Just calm your swine mind. Calm, Jesus says. But let's go back to the disciples on the lake and the way that these two stories collide, and they collide with each other. In the first story, it's just Jesus, the disciples, and me, the reader, you. You know, you're in the boat. That's what Mark's trying to do. In that story, it's in the boat. Jesus, the disciples, and you. You're there in the boat. Because you're not just a spectator. You're there watching. And you're wrestling with the same things that they're wrestling with. Who is this Jesus? What in the world is going on. And then no sooner does it happen and the wind and the waves calm down that you're thinking to yourself, did that really just happen? Did that just happen? But despite the miracle, the story doesn't answer your questions. If anything, the event in the boat only raises more questions, which kind of seems to be the point at this point in the story. And so if anything, one of the things that this story is inviting us to is it's okay to ask your questions. Jesus is asking questions. Why are you so afraid? Well, you can ask your questions too. It's okay. And if you want good news, the good news is that Jesus is with you in your world of questions. And Jesus has the power to calm the wind and the waves, even of those in your heart, soul, and mind. But just like real life, just when you thought it was safe to get back in the water, the clouds roll in and the music goes deep and minor. Because there in the boat with Jesus and friends, and you and me, as we cross over to the other side of the lake, which, by the way, let me give you a little one-sentence background going into this story. If you lived on the western side of the lake, you're not supposed to go to the eastern side of the lake. Okay? But we're doing it. We're going to the other side of the lake. And we start getting scared because there's a herd of pigs and what sounds like a whole lot of screaming. Now, hit the pause button for a moment. I know this is a lot of story to take in, but hit the pause button. Time out. Try to imagine what it would be like to be in the boat with Jesus, who just told you, remember, we're early in the story. Jesus just told you, come follow me. Maybe just a few days ago, for all we know. Jesus just told you, come follow me. And you know what? You did. You followed Jesus. But you have to be thinking sometimes, was this a good idea? Did I do the right thing? Because mom and dad, bless their hearts, they tried so hard to raise me right. And here I am with the stranger, about to go ashore with this stranger, and there's a bunch of pigs. And I'm not supposed to be around pigs. That's not how I was raised. Pigs are bad. And then you try to comfort yourself with this confusing comfort that maybe this Jesus who calmed the wind and the waves also may just have the power to calm your anxieties and your fears. But then you get out of the boat, and somebody's running right for you. There's a wild man running around the hills, naked and screaming and bleeding, and he's coming for us, running right at us through the pigs. And here we are in this foreign land where nothing makes sense. Nothing. You ever feel that way? Where you look around the world and it's like nothing makes sense. Well, you know what the people who actually walked with Jesus, like the closest followers of Jesus, had to deal with every single day? It wasn't them walking around holding hands with Jesus and singing blue skies and rainbows and, oh, isn't this wonderful? They're walking around with Jesus who says things like, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Really? Can't we just go to eat Chinese food? Can't we just, can't we sing around the fire? Can't we do something besides go to the other side of the lake? We're this naked, screaming, bleeding man is running for us. How do you know he's naked, Jeff? You keep saying that, right? It's because whenever he's better, you heard what it said, right? There it was. The people from the town came out and saw him, and he was what? Dressed. Which pretty much suggests that he was running around not dressed. Chains falling from his wrists and his feet, and he's bleeding, and it is awful. And the people have got to be scared to death. Because when Jesus said, "Come follow me," we thought that he was going to like go preach in synagogues. We didn't know what we were getting into. Nothing makes sense anymore. This is the world that Jesus' people lived in. Nothing makes sense anymore. So why should today be any different? This world that we live in, where nothing makes sense anymore. But you know what Jesus said in their world way back then when nothing made sense? You know what Jesus said? Peace. Be still. Prices are too high. People don't listen to each other anymore. People yell at each other all the time. And Jesus says, peace. Be still. Demons gather by the thousands on the hillside and beg to run with pigs. And Jesus says, peace. Be still. Our poor monkey minds are always having to think and process things, and things that add up to so little in the grand scheme of things. And Jesus is still saying, peace, be still. And we're standing there next to the disciples asking the same old questions. Who is this who even the wind and the waves and the pigs obey him? But there's good news. There's such good news. Oh, boy, is there ever good news. Because we get to hear this story with the rest of the story intact. That's the advantage that we have sitting here right now listening to this story. You realize that, right? We are actually better off than the disciples who were there with Jesus while that was happening. You know why? Because we know how this story is going to turn out. We know more of Jesus than they did at the time. We know that when Jesus says, peace be still, that it's more than just one like wind and waves and pigs event. Because we get to hear this story already knowing the answer to our question. And you know what the question is, right? Who is this? They're not the only ones who ever ask that. Who is this? It might have actually been easier when we didn't know, when we weren't sure. But the thing about it is, you know. We know who this is. This is Jesus, Son of God, God incarnate, God on earth, God with us. And I don't know where you are today when you hear all this. Maybe you are anxious as all get out. Or maybe you got the joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Whether the wind and the waves are crashing against the boat, or whether you're walking down the street and 2,000 pigs come running at you, can we at least hear Jesus this morning? And I mean really hear. Can we at least hear Jesus saying what we so desperately need to hear? To quote Jesus directly. Quiet. Be still. Why are you so afraid? Quiet. Be still. And then now, after all is said and done, and after all that we've been through as a church together over the past 4 or 5 years, of having to face the pandemic and get through it, come out on the other side, and sit here this morning in this place, maybe what we need to hear from Jesus is a reminder of why we are here in the first place. Did you hear what Jesus said to the freed man while the pigs were still flying down into the water. I mean, they're still out there in the water drowning, and Jesus says something that maybe we need to hear today too. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. And the good news is, if your swine mind is still a rambling, maybe you can hear Jesus. If nothing else, you can hear Jesus. Peace. Be still. Peace.